Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. We have with us Sid Roth, and Sid, you are truly one of my heroes in the faith, and I followed your ministry for a long time, and our whole ministry team has so much respect for you, what you've done to exalt the name of Jesus, and to just release even revelation and testimony of the supernatural, invisible kingdom of God to us. So thank you so much for all that you are, all that you bring to us, all that you've invested. And we just want you to know that you are truly honored in our midst. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was probably the nicest introduction I've ever had.
And you hardly need an introduction because you're well known in the body of Christ. But today, we want to talk about your testimony because it's so powerful, because you're Jewish and you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You've written a book called They Thought for Themselves, and it's a powerful book of testimonies of how people that were Jewish that didn't know Jesus came to know Yeshua. And why did you write this book?
Well, I have lots of dreams, like you do, but I've only had a few dreams in which God Himself has come to me and told me to do something. And this was one of them. And God came to me and He said to me, more Jewish people will come to know me through your book than anything you've ever done. At that time, wow. I had my whole testimony in a book. So I literally said to God, oh, my testimony book, it's finally going to take off. He said, no, your book of Jewish testimonies. And before I could tell him I didn't have a book of Jewish testimonies, the dream was over. And guess what I did? See, the one thing God knows is if He tells me to do something,
you'll do it.
I will do it, and I will do it as quickly as I humanly can do it.
I relate to that.
And so all I have to do is know what to do, and boom, I'm going to do it.
You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And it also says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Bill Johnson has this, I just love what he says. He said, the testimony is so powerful because when you testify of something Jesus does, it gives Him permission to do it again because it's like prophesying it into the atmosphere. And they thought for themselves. I think that's one of the keys in this book is that it is so full of the power of testimony. So in the spirit realm, there is this release of power that goes out for God to do it again in many people's lives, because if He did it once, twice, 10 times, and it goes out and people hear it and they are amazed at what God did, then it releases it in the spirit for it to happen more.
Well, this is, I believe, God's moment in history to have mercy on Israel. This book, there are over 800,000 of them in print, mostly in foreign languages, mostly like in the streets of Israel. It's considered the number one book to give to unsaved Jewish people, the Hebrew version. In the former Soviet Union, we mail it to Jewish households throughout Siberia. We mail it through Jewish households through cities throughout the former Soviet Union, unlike in the United States. They will not only devour the book, but every member of their family will read it. I recently met a Russian Jew that said his mother, when she read what Dr. Michael Brown had to say about the difference between rabbinic Judaism and the Judaism of God, she said that answered every objection that she had. See, they're fascinating stories, and mine is one of the stories in there, and people will read stories. They won't read scripture, but I force them to have scripture because the scripture is interspersed with the testimony that they want to read.
Plants have authority in there. You know, Sid, when I first became a Christian, I had this amazing love for Jewish people, and it came from the heart of God, and I never even thought about it earlier. In fact, growing up, I had a friend of mine in school who was Jewish, but I never thought much about it. I didn't think anything like Christian, Jewish, Hindu, whatever. To me, they were all just the same. But when I became a Christian, all of a sudden I had this love for the Jews. Like, I'd meet one and I'd just want to say, no, stay a little bit longer. I just want to look at you. You're Jewish. And they would say, well, yeah. You know, I say, yeah, but do you realize that you're special? You know, and it was just something that came in my heart. Now, as we were getting ready this morning, and I know that we can't unpack too much of this because it's just kind of an idea right now, but on your website in the future, people can probably find out more. But you shared a possible strategy that we might be able to move into one day that, if we do, I want to get on board with it. But you said about this book that it's a possibility that you can get the names of every single Jewish person in America, and that we could maybe get together a program where one Christian could sponsor getting this book into the hands of 10 Jewish people and get their names to pray for them. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is like a strategy from heaven, I think. I hope you do it.
Well, we're actually are doing it to a degree in the former Soviet Union right now. And only God knows how many are coming to the Lord. But this is God's... As a new Jewish believer, I saw a move of God's Spirit among Jewish people in the early 70s, and I haven't seen it since. And the rain is beginning to fall. It's God's time. And when you said to me, Patricia, you don't even understand it, but you had a love for the Jewish people inside of you, I understand it,
right?
Because you have the greatest Jew who ever lived,
yes,
living inside
in me,
of you.
Yes,
so,
I
mean, it, you know, duh.
My Savior's Jewish. It's awesome. You know, Sid, last night at a meeting that we were at together, you shared a testimony of this amazing fire that's hitting the Jewish community, especially the Russian Soviet Jews. And God gave you this outstanding strategy for reaching them. I love it. Can you share that testimony right now?
I would love to.
Okay.
What I do is I go into the Jewish community, and I'll use something I actually have done already. And I have new ones on the drawing board, so I don't want to talk about until they're finished. But I went into Brighton Beach, New York. That's Brooklyn, New York, which in a 10-block radius, there's 100,000 Soviet Jews. We rented a secular theater. We ran ads on Russian television, Russian radio, Russian newspapers. And the ad said, "Lecture on the Supernatural." Sid Roth, who for over 30 years has done investigative research on the supernatural, is in town for a lecture, and many people that attend this lecture are physically healed. There's no admission. Well, Patricia, I did this by faith. I didn't know if anyone would show up.
You put God on the line.
and we did intentionally nothing religious. There was nothing religious in the ad. We didn't have a worship team. I don't think Jesus had a worship team, by
right.
the way. I think he just went out and did the stuff. We didn't have announcements. I just got up there and shared the most supernatural thing I knew, and that is how God rescued me from... if God hadn't rescued me, I would either be insane, in prison, or dead. And I share this with the people. And at this particular meeting, we had between 400 and 500 unsaved Russian Jews right here in the United States of America.
And when you planned that event, you did it by faith. So
of course.
You didn't even know if 5 people were going to show up, or 10 people, or 100 people. But the whole place packed out even beyond what it could hold. That's hunger
for
the supernatural.
We had 400 chairs. And we had to keep pulling chairs out, and then
awesome.
It was standing room only.
It's awesome.
And in the middle of my speaking, a woman stands up out of a wheelchair and starts walking. Do you know what happened in that atmosphere? Do you realize
awesome.
That these people, I mean, they've never seen anything like this before. Then her attendant gets up and testifies, "I've never seen her walk before." And then I said, "How would you like to know the God that just healed her? How would you like to know
wow.
the God that set me free? This is your chance." And without exaggeration, the majority of the people stood up and made professions of faith. They then left their names and addresses. We had congregations follow up on them. And I have to tell
That's
you, Patricia,
awesome.
it's God's time. It's not that I'm so smart. It's not that I came up with a strategy. This is the set time to favor Zion. This is God's moment.
And I believe that. And he loves his people. He loves the Jewish people. And it just takes one revelation. And I so appreciate your faith and your courage for just obeying God on that, because now there's a company of believers that were never there. That's the miracle of salvation, is like one moment you are not a new creation and the next moment you are. And after the break, we're going to hear about Sid Roth himself coming into that miracle. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We have Sid Roth with us, author of They Thought for Themselves, a very powerful book of testimony of how Jewish people came to know Yeshua. Now, I want to hear your testimony, which is written in this book.
Right.
But you shared some things in the back room with me today as we were getting our makeup on and everything that is like, wow, God has had his hand on you, Sid Roth, in such a powerful way. But you didn't always know him and you weren't always close to him, but you were a seeker. So can you share with us how you came to know Jesus?
Sure. Well, both my parents, Jewish. I went to a traditional Jewish synagogue as I was raised. But most Jewish people after age 13 celebrate the festivals, but are proud of being Jewish, but don't have a whole lot to do with going to the synagogue outside of the major festivals. And let me go back. When I was about 6 or 7 years of age, my parents left me alone a lot, and because they were gamblers. They went out and they played poker. Mm-hmm. And I remember one night a question popped in my head. I don't know where it came from. I do today. But the question was, what happens when you die? And as a young boy, especially being Jewish, with Judaism is the chayim to life, we don't talk about death, but Judaism does believe there's life after death.
Right.
But I had never heard it as a child. So I began to use my childlike imagination and try to imagine what life would be like if, as in my opinion, I would no longer exist if
right.
I died. And it was so objectionable, Patricia, that I stopped. I blocked it from my mind until many years later. And I graduated from college. I was a songwriter. I wrote a song called There Must Be Something More. And you know, people that are artists, they're writing what's going on in their heart.
Sure.
And so that was my heart reaching out. I'm tried everything, but there must be something
there
more. There's got to be a greater purpose mm-hmm. for life. But I didn't know where to look or what. And so I got married early. Had a child, had a wonderful job as a broker at Merrill Lynch, as mm-hmm. a stock brokerage firm, but one of the largest in the world at
right.
the time. My goal was to be a millionaire by age 30. Mm-hmm. Well, I reached age 29. I knew I wouldn't be a millionaire by age 30, and I did something I'm not proud of. I left my wife, my daughter, my mm-hmm. job, and I went searching for what that something more is.
Right.
And things got progressively worse. At the end of the year, I was working for another company, and everything got worse rather than
like
better.
Sounds like everything was crumbling.
And
sometimes
that's what was
God
going
will
on.
Use the place where we're in the deepest crumble. that's where the light goes on, or the deep searches start.
And a man came to my office one day and said, Sid, if you ever want to go into business for yourself, I just knew him casually, mm-hmm. we'll give you a free office, free secretary, free telephone, and you can go into business for yourself. I said, boy, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I took a course at that time called Silva Mind Control, in which I learned how to lower my brain waves
right.
through mental exercise and invite a counselor into my head.
So that was a new age technique that
yeah,
you were learning,
right,
but didn't
and
know it was damaging to you.
No, but I found out I was getting information.
Mm-hmm.
I had no way of knowing, and my logical mind said,
right.
now I can start my own business, become
right.
a millionaire with this information I'm getting,
right.
and be happy.
Right.
Well, God had another plan. that man that offered me the free office was a born-again Christian. And God spoke to him and told him to offer me that free office. And he starts witnessing to me, and I start giving him my business, you know, and I, you know, I'm Jewish. He says, Sid, in your own Jewish scriptures, God condemns your involvement in the New Age. And I said, well, show me. And he turned to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Uh-huh. And God actually called what I was involved in and things like communicating with the dead, right. Seances, fortune telling.
That's an abomination.
That's the word he uses. An abomination in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Same chapter, interestingly enough, that talks about one greater than Moses is going to be coming to rescue the Jewish people, which... So I found a little booklet that said Four Spiritual Laws. And I read it, and nothing supernatural happened, so I figured it didn't work. It says you're a sinner, and the sin has separated you from God, and Jesus has come to pay the price for sin. So I read it, but in the New Age, there was all sorts of phenomena going on.
Sure.
Nothing happened, and I figured it just didn't work. And so... on the worst night of my life, I had just read a book by McCandlish Phillips called The Jew, the Bible, and the Supernatural, in which he told me something my Christian friends didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. What this book shows is that Jews are under a covenant with God.
Yes.
So although it's an abomination for anyone to be in the new evolved New Age, it's worse for a Jew because we're under a covenant. Mm-hmm. My hero at the time was the Beatles. And their Jewish manager, Brian Epstein, had gone to the Himalayas and the gurus and everything.
Exactly.
And at that time, he was the only one that was dead. It lists one Jew after another that was involved in the New Age that had lost their lives.
Yeah.
And at that time, I broke into a realm called astral projection.
Right.
And I got so scared, my spirit would leave my body and not find its way back. And I was so scared, I knew I had something evil inside of me. I didn't know how to get rid of it. And so on the worst night of my life, I prayed a two-word prayer. But what I didn't know is when I prayed those four spiritual laws, God heard me.
Exactly.
And I gave access to God. So it's not based on a feeling.
Exactly.
It's based on a decision.
And actually, that little booklet explains that, too. It says feelings will follow later. It says fact and then feeling.
But I didn't read that part. You're right, though. It said
But I mean, even though you didn't read it, that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool.
So the worst night of my life, I called my wife on the phone, who I was separated from, and I said, my wife was raised Southern Baptist, became an agnostic in college, and then when we got married, converted to Orthodox Judaism. So she might say she was a Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew who didn't know Jesus. And I said, Joy, it's bad. I mean, I got a demon inside of me. At this point, I knew something evil was in me. I didn't know how to get rid of it. So I wasn't going to tell her. I wasn't going to tell anyone. I couldn't tell anyone this. And I mean, I was totally alone. I said, pray for me. And I went to sleep, and I basically had a two-word prayer, Jesus, help. That was it. And I prayed that prayer, and Patricia, as much as I did not want to die, death looked better to me than life.
Yeah.
And I prayed that prayer, I went to bed, and I woke up that morning. And this is my story. It's a true story. It happened over 30 years ago. My room was filled with the presence of God. And I had a knowing inside of me. I knew something that I didn't know before I went to bed. I knew that Jesus was my Messiah. And then I heard the audible voice of God for the first time in my life. And this is what he said. I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. And I was so grateful to God. I returned to my wife and daughter. Joy and I have now celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary. God restored my marriage. God restored my mind. And God gave me a knowledge that he's real. And even more important than a knowledge that he's real, he gave me intimacy with him. Who wouldn't want to have intimacy with the living God? If God is for you, I mean, who, what could be against you? Patricia, the presence of God was so tangible in my room, And then I'll tell you one quick P.S. Every member of my immediate Jewish family knows Jesus. When my father had a revelation of Jesus, it was the day before he died. That same presence of God that came in my bedroom when I didn't care whether I would live or die came into the intensive care ward of the room of the hospital. And my father had a revelation of Jesus just before he died. Every member. And you know what? In Exodus chapter 12, it says a lamb for a house.
Yes.
That's the principle.
Yeah.
God wants entire families. We call them mishpucha. Entire families to know him. And when people read my testimony book, they get a revelation of God wants my whole household saved.
Amen. And your testimony is so powerful, not just for salvation, but a total restoration of everything that the enemy took from you. You know, the Bible says that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Sid Roth did, and that's what you can do if you don't know him as your Savior right now. All he did was say, help Jesus, and something supernatural happened. The power of salvation himself came inside of his life, filled his life with everything new, and a journey began. The Bible also says that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, you and your house. And so I share the same testimony. My husband and I were the very first ones to be saved in our households. And then now everyone knows Jesus. It can happen for you too. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior yet, I ask you to just turn your heart with a sincere faith. He can turn your life around. Maybe you're in that place of desperation right now. Maybe you, like Sid, feel, you know, as much as I don't really want to die, I'd rather be out of this life. I'd rather just have everything finished right now. But, you know, you can step out of the life you're in and step into something brand new. Just call on the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my heart right now and forgive me of all my sin. Become my Savior and my God, my Lord. And create a new life on the inside of me. And as you pray that prayer with sincerity, he'll come in. And write us at info@xpmedia.com and we'll send you some materials that'll help get you started in your new life in Christ. He's just so amazing. And what he did for Sid Roth, what he did for me, he can do for you. And your whole household can be transformed. He loves you. He really, really does. We'll be right back. Wow.
Two good segments. Sickness. The word sickness in the Greek could also be translated evil. Cancer is evil. Cancer is absolutely evil. And there is a name that is above cancer, above tumors. Above, there's someone with a tumor on their spine, on their back. There are tumors all over the body. And God is melting these tumors right now. But I'm especially hearing that God is healing backs right now. If you will just bend over, you'll see that pain that was there, it is gone. Your spine is healed right now, and an ear is opening up in Jesus' name.
Someone's watching who has had a growth appear in your body, and you've been so worried about it. You think it's cancer. It is not cancer. That's what I'm getting from the Lord on this particular growth. But it is going to dissipate. I'm going to make a faith command against that growth right now. And from the time this word goes out, it's going to go right inside that growth and start to dissipate its power and its ability to get any bigger. And within the next 2 weeks to 20 days, you're going to notice it just fade away to nothing. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse that growth in the name of Jesus. I command the power of Jesus to go right inside of it and to bring it to nothing in Jesus' name.
it's so exciting to me. I recently met a Orthodox Hasidic Jewish rabbi that believes Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, this is amazing. I prayed with him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He started praying in unknown tongues, and now he calls me, and he reports to me, I prayed for this person, and he got healed. I prayed for that person. Wow. But he now has led 70 Orthodox Jewish rabbis. They're from the Lubavitch sect, where Rabbi Schneerson, many of them felt he was going to be the Messiah. Well, decades has passed, and he never came back from the dead, but Yeshua's come back from the dead. And these 70 rabbis that believe in Yeshua have led now 1,000 Orthodox Jews worldwide to the Lord. This is without precedent.
This is amazing.
And as I told you earlier, I had between 400 and 500 Jewish people right here in the United States, Russian Jews, come to know Jesus, make professions of faith.
Awesome.
This is the first time, Patricia, to my knowledge, in the history of the United States, so many Jewish people received Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, Messiah, at one moment.
Awesome.
Something is going on. And, you know, many Christians are like you were. They will say, there's something in me that loves you. You have a special purpose and destiny on your life. But now it's time to go to phase two. Now it's time to tell Jewish people who Jesus is.
Amen. Sid, right now I'm getting like a prayer burden for Jews that are in like Poland and mm-hmm. Russia and the Eastern Bloc of Europe. Can you just, as we wrap up this segment, just pray for a release of the revelation of the Messiah into them?
I will. And because my background happens to be Polish and Russian, I can pray for those two groups very easily. I pray in Yeshua's name that the same spirit that is in this studio right now would go right through your television and touch you with a revelation of who Yeshua is, that you would experience the same shalom, the same peace that Patricia and I have experienced, every member of my family, every member of her family. It's time for your family to be whole. It's time for your family to know the reality that Yeshua is the only way to know God.